Payne and Pendergast with you. This was Will Anderson yesterday. He was at a charity event, or at least an awareness event for driver safety. USAA was sponsoring it. It was at Firehouse 55 here in Houston. You can go online and see Will Anderson demonstrating the use of the Jaws of Life on there, which I would submit that Will Anderson's own two arms could serve as a Jaws of Life. If there's a Houston athlete that you needed to rip the door off of your car to get you out of it, Will Anderson is probably in the top five here, I would say, in Houston. Danielle Hunter would be number one, I think, for me.
John Weeks would be number one if he were still here, because he is an actual volunteer firefighter. So he had experience running the Jaws of Life.
That is true.
So he might not have the physique of either of those guys.
No.
But he would probably be, if you actually want to live and not just get to say like, oh, Will Anderson saved me. Yeah,
no, but if there were no Jaws of Life, but they just had to use their two arms to rip the door open.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd pick Danielle Hunter, I think. But Will would be close. And so would John Weeks. You know what? Just because I like John Weeks, I'd be like, you know what? I don't want to hurt John Weeks' feelings. You're top five too, buddy.
John Weeks would have all the knowledge of how to use leverage to his advantage.
There you go.
Because of his experience.
That's
I'm tired of you crapping all over John Weeks, man.
Me?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What did I say about John Weeks? Why would I? I didn't crap on him.
I'm just joking. You doubted his. You doubted his firefighting of, or his basically the paramedic side of being.
Oh, okay. I thought. I wonder if I said something earlier when we brought him up as this topic here, like a lifetime Houston Texan. I don't want anything to get misconstrued with John Weeks. Here's Will Anderson saying, I want to be a Texan forever.
Most definitely. I want to be here the rest of my career, honestly. Like, as long as I can be here, that's when I want to be here, man. And, you know, those guys, they deserve it. They work really hard. They put a lot of hard work into, you know, their craft. And you see it on Sunday, and I'm excited to be a part of the team.
All right, he's talking about Derek Stingley Jr. and Jalen Petrie, Danielle Hunter, guys that got money this offseason.
Yeah. And he, Will Anderson would be the last guy that I'd expect that all of a sudden he gets up and does a Trey Hendrickson or something.
And I wouldn't expect the Texans to be the organization that puts him in that position either.
Right.
You know?
Like, well, no, obviously. Yeah. They're very proactive.
Yeah.
The only guy that has really agitated publicly about it is in recent years is Steven Nelson.
That's right.
You know, Laramie would make the side eye emoji whenever anybody and another offensive tackle got paid, but that was about the sum total of it. It never got acrimonious or anything. But with Will, he's just gonna always say the right thing.
And he's gonna get paid. Like, he's, unless something bad happens, he's gonna get paid next offseason. Will Anderson also went on the NFL Network yesterday and was asked by Tom Pelissero, is there anything? Tom Pelissero and then a co-host, who I'm not sure who it was, asking, is there anything you're honing in on this offseason?
Most definitely. You know, I talk about it all the time, and, you know, just talking to the rookies and talking to other, you know, my coach, he's helped me. It's really just about enjoying your process and how much better can you be at your process. And for me, is how much greater can I be at my process? How much can I be consistent with doing my process day in and day out? And that just comes from how my stance looks, how my get off looks, how my arms are, how am I using my hands, how am I shedding off blocks. So, like, just consistently doing my process the right way to keep building and getting better game in and game out.
You know, the cool thing about him and Danielle Hunter is that Danielle's got a different style than Will Anderson. So it's not like you want Will out there trying to emulate all the things that Danielle Hunter does, because Danielle Hunter's like Gumby. I mean, he can move his body in ways that most other human beings
can't. He's got that Euro step, too, that he uses.
Right, yeah. Where Will is much more of a power rusher. Yeah. But the carryover, or the common ground between both those guys, is some of the basics of getting out of your stance, but then also how do you use your hands. That's something that, like, Will got a lot better at last year, and you could tell that he'd worked at it. He showed better bend at the top of his rush, and those were the things he talked about working on and improving in the offseason. So everything that he did last year to improve his pass rush, it's not like he has to uncover some new secret superpower or something. He just needs to continue to refine it, and he understands that it's a career-long process that you just always have to be working at it.
You're absolutely right. That's the cool thing about Will Anderson over the course of his rookie year to last year, was he would get asked, and he was very open about, these are the things I'm looking to improve upon. And I think the Texans coach in a manner that's like that as well. You know, they talk about
They have pro-grow tapes. They focus on a few specific things that you're supposed to be working on.
Yeah, and so Will was very open about what those things were. And then to see it come to fruition, because you see a lot of guys, don't know if it's lip service or they're just not good enough to improve at those things, but to see it with that guy, to say this, this, and this, and then you watch him, and he is much more refined in year two than he was in year one.
Well, that's where, I mean, and this is, and that was Will's challenge. Will was very raw as a pass rusher. When you look at the guys who have been the sack leaders over the course of the past decade, by and large, almost all of them had single-digit sacks in the rookie season and then double-digit sacks in their second or third season. It's a process to learn how to rush the passer in the NFL. There's way more technique involved in it than people might think. It's not just running around people, unless you're, you know, Javon Curse back in the day.
Right.
There's a lot more to it. And that was my reservation with Will as a really high draft pick was, all right, yeah, he did some really good stuff in college, but he is raw, and he's gonna have to figure this out. And he did lot of it during his rookie year, but then he just took a huge step forward last year.
Yeah, which makes this year super exciting. And along those lines, Will was asked, do you have a sack total in mind for this season?
It's double digits. It's double digits. It doesn't matter what double digit number, it's just double digits, man. And, you know, I've been able just to take it one game at a time and take it one play at a time. And I have to give a huge shout out to Daniil, man. He's been a double digit guy, sack guy since he's been in the league. And to see his process and to see, you know, he doesn't worry about those things. He's just like, bro, I'm just going out there and playing. I think that's been able to help me and calm me down. And, you know, I always tell people we're like fire and ice. When I look at Daniil, my fire just woosah, because he just brings that presence. Like, it's going to be okay, bro. You're going to get it. So just lucky to have him and blessed to have him on the team.
Yeah, with pass rushers, it's interesting. They almost have to have a baseball-type mentality. Because the sacks, there's a certain randomness to it. You can play an incredible game and have zero sacks, but you could be rushing the passer really well, and you just don't come up with one. So sometimes really good pass rushers will go three or four games without a sack, and you got to remind yourself, just like baseball hitters do, like, nope, the process. All right, am I winning? Am I doing the right things? The sacks will come. Because you start pressing for it, then the other parts of your game fail and you're bad against the run and you're making dumb decisions. So that's another part of the psychological side of things where it's good to have Daniil Hunter.
That's even harder than batting average. Like statistically, it's, think about that. The leader in sacks last year was Trey Hendrickson. He had 17 and a half. Yeah. He probably plays what, conservatively 40 passing snaps a game. Probably
you get about 500 snaps per year
I mean, a defensive player that plays every snap plays like 65 to 70 snaps, call half of those dropbacks. You know, that's 40 times 17 is what, like 500 or 600
pass attempts.
Passing snaps. And you get 17 and a half. Can you imagine if a baseball player got 17 hits all year long? That's about the same number of plate appearances as a baseball player gets in a season. That number of snaps. Sorry, I didn't mean to frustrate you with the. I thought you were talking about the total snaps with the 500.
Yeah.
The total overall snaps, not just passing. That would be like a baseball. Like the success rate is like 17, and I know there's other plays where you're making an impact, but just purely on sacks, they're very rare.
That's right. Some coaches grade it. They have a production grade, and it's based on, you know, sacks, quarterback hits, tackles, assisted tackles, all that.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a lot more manageable because you're producing in a game, but it's like the stat line might not look impressive, but you're making a play one out of every six plays.
Yeah, to compare it to batting average, you know what I mean?
That's why it's frustrating sometimes with every great pass rusher. For people that don't typically watch the defensive line, what'll happen is when they watch an individual defensive lineman for the first time in their life, they'll say, "Well, I don't know, he doesn't do a whole lot." Right. Like, it's really, really hard to make a play.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
The really good guys have two guys on them most of the time. So it's when they have those opportunities that they make a play.
Yeah. So that was Daniil's role. Talking Will off the ledge when he's not getting a sack on every single play out there. Calm the young man down. All right, text messages. Oh, wow, I hadn't seen this, and I just double-checked it here real quick. Remember Jake Bloss, Seth, the pitcher that got sent to Toronto in the Kikuchi trade, along with Will Wagner and Joey Loperfido? UCL repair on his elbow. UCL tear for Jake Bloss.
God, was Bloss the one that came out and only could barely make it through an inning? The poor kid.
No. That was Blair Henley, I believe. That's right.
Blair.
Yeah, Blair Henley. Okay, gotcha. Jake Bloss came up midseason last year. I forget how he did. Good enough, I guess, to be viewed as an asset in the Kikuchi trade. But a UCL repair. God, can you imagine if Jake Bloss was on the Astros right now? It feels like that's one of those things. It's just a matter of time. You know, if he was still on the Astros and now yet another Astros pitcher with an elbow issue. Sorry for that, man. Jake Bloss.
Bloss actually, he played in 3 games last year. Never went more than 4 innings.
Yeah, he wasn't great, but I think the guy you're thinking of was Henley. Henley got shot.
No, 100% that is. Yeah, yeah. And he's got his family in the stands and he just couldn't get out of the first inning.
Yeah.
He couldn't get an out for the longest time.
Tough,
it felt
man.
Like.
Yeah, it was tough. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Keep texting in. Someone says, you wouldn't take Donovan Mitchell, but you'd take Kevin Durant. I think I'm still on the fence about Durant. Again, all these things are dependent on what you'd have to give up. I think you probably have to give up more to get Donovan Mitchell than you would to get Kevin Durant. Donovan Mitchell is an all-star in his prime. I'm just not a huge Donovan Mitchell guy. But you'd have to give up more, I think, to get Donovan Mitchell off of the Cavs, who's still got 2 or 3 years left under his contract, than you would to get Kevin Durant at age 37, you know?
So, oh, man, if you're into it for a little bit of schadenfreude, oh, dude, I lose it. There's a lot of stuff coming out of Cleveland right now.
Oh, dude.
What's that?
I listened to their morning show this morning specifically for the schadenfreude of getting knocked out.
You love listening to Cleveland misery.
I do. I absolutely. I love listening to any misery that's not ours, and those guys have a good show. They do misery better than anybody that I know, Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Technically co-workers. They're part of the Odyssey family, so shout out to them. But yes. Yes. Seth, there was a time.
Oh,
where
this is what it was. It was Max Strus there. He sent a group text to his Cavs teammates before game 5 saying, if you don't believe, don't show up for work. And then he went over 9.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Oh, dude, why would you put yourself out there like that? All right. Payne and Pendergast. I just love the schadenfreude. We were that city a few years ago. You know what I mean? We were the ones that people were pointing and laughing at. We're not that city anymore. So let's take pleasure in other people's pain, shall we? All right, Payne and Pendergast. Schedule release tonight. Texans need to step up their game in this particular area. We'll tell you what it is coming up next.